welcome to another episode of the Truth Lies Shenanigans podcast. I am Neo Nix, and in this episode, we're talking about memories and instincts. My co-host today, the lovely Gianni Storm, and our rock star, Robbie Rock.
Hey!
Hey, everyone.
Hey, everybody.
So are you guys readers? Do you guys read?
Yes.
My wife yes, is I read. Not a reader. I read graphic novels and I read articles online.
I'm like you, Robbie. I'm not a big reader, but so what's the most memorable book if you have read any books, Robbie? The most memorable book you've ever read?
In my early adolescence, I fell in love with Jack London's works, Call of the Wild, Buck.
Okay, I know.
It really resonated with me. It was just that free spirit. It was adventure. It was loyalty. There were trials and tribulations. Those stories resonated with me. There were so many great things about it.
So, Jen?
I would say for me, it's recently been more of like The Power of One, the self-help kind of books, Becoming Supernatural, like kind of metaphysical. I just like things like that. I think they're interesting. But growing up, like James Patterson and I like reading in general. The only genre of book I don't like is complete fiction. Like just complete fiction. I'd rather watch a show.
I'm like Rob, I'm not a huge reader. I get bored with books really easily, so I'll start reading. I just get bored with it and I just give up on it. But when I was younger, there were a few books. I really liked Orson Scott Card, Isaac Asimov. I really liked those sci-fi books. And one of the authors was Piers Anthony. And you may not know him, but he did a lot of fantasy books. And there was one book in particular. It was part of an Incarnations of Immortality series. And it was called On a Pale Horse. And it really influenced my thoughts on death and and how I see death and afterlife, incarnations of immortality. So there was death, time, fates, etc. That particular book, On a Pale Horse, was about death.
And
it was really influential in my thoughts, particularly on God and religion and things like that. And it really helped me to open my mind a little bit to see things just a little bit differently and consider
outside of the norm.
That was my book as a kid.
I used to work at a library, guys, as a library assistant.
Interesting. Like, how old were you?
18, 19 for a year. Yeah, it was awesome. It was amazing. I loved it.
My mom made me volunteer at a library when I was like 8, 9. I was in elementary school. She made me volunteer. I might have been, maybe I was 10. Maybe I was 10. Yeah. I might have been in sixth grade. Maybe I was 10 or so.
My mom, she was a librarian.
Nice.
See?
Yeah.
Very sweet.
And we don't read. That's funny. All right, let's go ahead and get into this topic that I think fans of Assassin's Creed, the game, might relate to.
Yeah.
So in the game, the main character can access their ancestors' memories through their DNA. And then through the course of the game, you relive those historical adventures and you play through it. But it got me thinking, what if it's true? Could our memories actually be passed down through DNA to our children? Yeah. Like our specific memories, like some of the trauma that I had as a kid, or maybe, you know, I got hit by a bus and survived. Does that trauma pass down to my children? I was thinking about my dog, and I had a dog where I raised right out of the womb. And it definitely did instinctive dog things, you know?
Yes.
And there's a lot of animals like birds, lizards, snakes. They have the ability to survive without parents. So the parents just kind of leave the nest and they survive. How do they figure it out? I don't get it. How do they know what to do if they've never learned it from anyone? How do they just know? And then we as humans, we have instincts that we kind of can't explain. So where's it all coming from?
Yeah.
When I looked it up, there's like a ton of studies looking into the idea that maybe, just maybe, we're carrying around bits and pieces of ancestors' memories. They call it genetic memory. Now, I also saw a lot of researchers saying that this was all bullshit, but saying there's no way particularly human beings are passing down memories like, you know, what I ate yesterday or you know, kissing my wife goodbye just a minute ago, you know, that those memories, just no way that's passing down through your DNA, right? So I'm asking you and our audience, and don't forget, you can comment on Pods Network and chat with us now. So go ahead and do that and let us know what you think. But I'm saying that memories can be inherited through DNA by our children. And I'm asking, okay, is this truth, lies, or shenanigans? I'm going to start with Robbie on this one next.
Okay. I don't think that actual memories can be passed through DNA. I think that that's, that's neither here nor there for me. Now, to say that your genetic stock has aptitudes or predispositions towards certain things, perhaps. I'm thinking like athleticism and physical traits that can be passed on. There's some stuff that I don't really get, and I'll be honest about that. Like as far as instinctual behaviors, how newborns know how to suckle for milk, how a newborn chimpanzee instinctively clings to their mother's fur, how Komodo dragon hatchlings instinctively run for piles of feces, knowing that Komodo dragons don't eat feces, and they know to take to the trees until they get to a certain size.
What?
Instinct is crazy. It absolutely is. Humans have fear responses that are very natural. Fear of snakes and spiders. So, you know, hard-coded survival instincts, I don't necessarily consider to be
memories.
Racial memories. Yeah.
Okay.
Because it's not.
What, like, are they?
Survival tools, man. And it's.
But how are they passed down?
I mean, from where?
Where do they come from? Let's say we all started from an amoeba.
Speciation, dude. Judge an amoeba. Can't relegate it back to the amoeba's memories because of
speciation. Not the amoeba.
I'm just saying.
We're not going back. Wait a minute.
I'm saying let's assume we all started from an amoeba in the primordial soup.
Yeah. Now,
how did we develop at birth these understanding, this knowledge, what to do, how to do it, where to go? How do we develop that if it's not memories that are being passed down? Like the previous generation, you know,
because learn it's a survival that mechanism. When there is a genetic change that yields an advantage to this new strain, then they have a greater propensity to survive and thrive. And that's what happens with each level of speciation. It's just one small adaptation that makes it more apt to survive. So if the amoeba just had the ability to float around with the currents, and then the next generation has a cilia that helps it propel itself, well, it's going to have access to more food. Therefore, it's going to propagate more, and it's going to outbid the other one. So,
you're just saying these hard-coded instinctual things are just passed down like by natural selection. So like, for example, I have these two dogs. One is like a really scared ass dog, and the other dog is like the loving, he jumps all over you, he doesn't care. You know, you drop something right next to him, he looks at you like, what? And so and the other one is flown off somewhere and hidden under the sofa or something.
Scary.
And of course, the one that runs and hides under the sofa is more likely to have survived, right? In a natural environment because he's scared. So maybe you're saying that particular type of instinct has just kind of refined over time. I still question how it passes down.
The argument really is dependent on the definition to me of memory, because if we're if we're going to be specific about it and we're talking about like my personal experiences, would I be able to pass that down to my daughter? Originally, I did think, no, that's impossible. Mm-hmm. But then I did some research and I saw that even with like the Holocaust survivors, now because of their trauma, their children now have a certain hormone, a stress hormone. Yeah, inherited.
But that's epigenetic inheritance. So there are studies that have been done in gene expression that can be changed from one generation down to the next. So if we're talking about the Holocaust generation, so huge malnutrition, the psychological impact of what they went through was absolutely reeling, unparalleled. So this can absolutely change the DNA generation methylation patterns in the offspring. So basically, when the woman is pregnant, the chemical makeup is different. So it will absolutely have an impact on the next generation.
Just to explain to the audience, there are studies on Holocaust survivors and their offspring, and they demonstrated that the impact of trauma across generations showed epigenetic inheritance.
Yes.
They suggest that extreme stress can lead to genetic changes, which affects offspring's development and their response to stress. It also, as part of that research, there was a specific gene that they looked at. It's called the FKBP5 gene. And what they found was there were alterations in Holocaust survivors and their descendants specific to that gene, which implied that parental trauma can influence children's genetic makeup, particularly regarding stress responses and psychological issues. So,
like you were saying, with your dogs, just having a fear response just by virtue of what, by virtue of what your predecessors were exposed to, who got the opportunity to propagate. Exactly.
Who survived? The people that were most scared, went in hiding, you know, whatever they did to survive is what survived. That was the gene that survived.
Exactly.
I agree with you, Robbie. That kind of speaks to what you were saying.
Mm-hmm. You guys are talking about more so like natural selection and inheriting physical things.
I mean, but he's saying that as an explanation, that's possibly an explanation to why we're seeing these traits passed down into next generations where they know what to do, right? Because that's the people who survived. It was in their genetic makeup already through some adaptation or mutation.
And that's a few millions of years of adaptation. We end up with very complex behaviors, but that change happened over time from the amoeba to this. Yeah. Hey, man.
But I mean, that's kind of almost assuming evolution, no?
It is.
No, it's establishing that evolution is a proven concept, that it happened.
So it's not assuming. I mean, he's saying it did happen.
Not assuming. We're saying it happened.
He's saying it did happen.
Evolution happened, but I mean, I feel like it's arguable to believe that evolution as a human, we originated from an amoeba to a monkey, as some say, to a human. So
you're saying it's a stretch.
I don't believe that.
Now, I'm one of those people who believed in the possibility, this is just a possibility, that there was assisted mutations, assisted adaptations. But that's a whole different episode.
That's a whole different episode for sure.
Everybody needs a creator. But I wanted to touch on the specific I wanted to touch on the specific memory because I remember out of, I believe, Arkansas or some Midwest place, there was actually a few cases where these young kids were having very specific memories of a life that they never had. They were about 4 or 5 years old. And it goes along the lines of reincarnation, like some of the Hindu and other faiths believe. So is that similar as well? Would you consider that passed on? Because that could have been his ancestor, or that could have been him. And it was essentially a memory. How does he remember that?
I would say that the parents are charlatan and they have fed that child information and weaned them to believe a certain thing. Or the child has a vivid imagination, or the child has some kind of brain aneurysm or something not quite right.
Rob said a brain aneurysm.
Seriously, man.
Robbie does not. A brain aneurysm. That is so funny.
The kid might have brain cancer. He might have a tumor. He might have a growth.
So he pretended he was an old Western cowboy.
I'm not ruling it out. I wouldn't rule it out. I'm believing those things than saying that he's tapping into specific memories of ancestors.
Reincarnation. Yeah.
In my adolescence, oh man, did I ever want to be Caesar Augustus or Marcus Aurelius or someone fantastical and say, yeah, you know, I was that person in a former life. Okay, great.
Yeah. Well, what if he's having dreams and memories that are specific to that time and event, verbatim?
Dreams.
And memories.
What's the difference? What's the difference?
She's like, and memories.
And false memories are very common. False memories are
common in
our species. So
that's true.
It's a three-ring circus because at the end of the day, someone's trying to profit from it.
As I grew up, my mother used to always say I was reincarnated and I used to be someone else. I started to believe that crap.
Oh,
yeah. She used to say it all the time. And she said I was reincarnated as somebody else. And because I guess as a kid, I would say stuff like, I remember when I did this. I remember when I did that. And
Wow.
And she also felt that kids can
remember
better their previous lives. I don't know if I subscribe to that theory of reincarnation. I'm one of those people where I think when we die that we do change forms. I don't believe our consciousness as is passes on in any way, shape, or form. But I believe we can pass on as energy or particles or whatever it is.
Chemically and atomically.
Exactly.
You break down and you become part
something
of your
else.
Ecosystem. The universe.
Yes. And I believe that, again, the consciousness as it exists does not pass on. And I don't know that memories can pass on in the same way. That's just what I believe.
But, like, memories can't be transmitted.
I'm not saying that memories can't be transmitted. I'm saying that my personal memories are not necessarily passed on to another human in somebody else's womb.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, that's what I'm saying. But
I agree.
But to this point of like, and kind of going back to what Rob B was saying, and, you know, to this point of instincts and passing on down to other generations, there was another study that was done in 2014 called the Diaz-Ressler study. And it was on mice. And what they did is they subjected the mice, one generation of mice, to this cherry blossom smell or scent. And what they would do is they would shock them every time they came close to that particular smell. And then what they did was, you know, the next generation of mice, they would do the same thing. And then one of the later generations, all they had to do was have the smell. And then the mice would run away from that particular smell. So they inherited the fear of that particular smell.
That's evil.
But the question is, are they passing down the memory of the smell as bad because later generations that were never subjected to the scent were scared of the scent within, like, I think they said 4 or 5 generations.
Well, kind of like instinctively, anything that's alive, if we smell fire, we're going.
Yeah, but where did they develop from? Because initially they were not scared of that cherry blossom smell.
Yeah. Right.
And then even subsequent generations developed a fear of particularly that smell. So I don't know. That one kind of sold me a little bit because I was on the fence. I'm like, this doesn't make any sense, right? How can you pass down memories? But in some ways it makes sense because our DNA changes over time. If I was making babies at 20, it's not going to be the same DNA that I'm making at 40 or 50.
Right.
Well, criminologists would tell you that, yes, it is the same DNA.
Well, there are minute differences in the DNA. There are genetic differences because you're making copies of copies, right? So in your cells, you're just making copies of copies eventually, and that's how cancers develop. And why we look so different when we get older, because over time, there are minute changes. And we know DNA from the gene level. But we don't know anything beyond that. And as we know with the world of small, there's always something smaller that we just haven't tapped into. So is it possible that we are passing down some more smaller information in our genes?
That's a good point, Neil. I like that argument.
I say it's possible that we are passing down information we're just not aware of or that we haven't seen yet because we hadn't seen DNA till what, 60s, 50s?
Yeah.
So prior to that, we had no knowledge of, of DNA. Atoms is another example. There's still something smaller. Yep. And then what's beyond atoms? We just don't know what exists smaller than that. So what I'm saying is there could be little tidbits of information that we're just not privy to that we are passing down within our DNA. It's possible because it would explain these instincts. I mean, what else really honestly explains instincts?
Yeah.
To some degree, natural selection makes sense, but really, when it comes down to a bird literally being able to know exactly what to do, from flying out of its nest to going to eat a worm, I mean, mm-hmm. there has to be some type of knowledge that we're passing
it out. Knows exactly what to do. It knows exactly, we all know from that standpoint, exactly what to do without thinking about it.
Yep.
And it kind of goes along the lines where people say, not all of your thoughts are your own. I think it's interesting. I think that you can't, and this is my opinion, even despite what we've talked about, I think you can't have specific personal memories passed down to generations. I think it has to be something that is a traumatic event, and it has to be something that is like a collective event. I feel like that could pass down memories, but that's just from what I've seen and researched.
I might be leaning your way, but I don't know. I'm still
on the fence.
I'm still on the fence. But one last question. Gianni talked about reincarnation. Do you think that, like, these experiences of deja vu or these memories of the past are the DNA, or where does it come from? Because there are some things where it has been proven to align with reality. Or is it just something that maybe we heard or we happened to see on TV that are stuck in our subconscious and we're just kind of reliving it? What do you guys think about?
False memories. I'm going back to false memories, and then I'm going to our subconscious being programmed by everything in our environment, and that the dreams that you do remember are only a fraction of what you dream. And how many times have you played out conversations, scripted them before you've had them with people, especially difficult conversations? You prime yourself.
That's true.
Your brain is an amazing thing. We don't fully understand it. So for me, deja vu is absolutely your subconscious going, hey, yeah, this looks familiar because we did this before. You kind of go, hey,
in the dream world.
How can this seem familiar to me? Like, what? Okay.
That's always been a difficult, because even with friends I have today, they totally believe in reincarnation. They totally believe that there's things that we can't explain. We will never explain. There's deities and entities bigger than us. So they believe in all of that. I've always been a little bit more practical because there's other answers. And I think there's some answers that make more sense. Like dreams, we can't like truly research dreams, because how can you? Besides putting somebody up and then scanning their waves and stuff like that, it's really hard. Yeah, so I think that there's some parts of us that we still have yet to discover.
But yeah, no.
Star Trek hasn't developed the technology. No, I'm kidding.
a Jedi will read your dreams for you. It's fine.
It's fine.
That's a previous episode. Check last week's episode for that conversation.
Yeah.
All right. So memories can be inherited through DNA by our children. Is this truth, lies, or shenanigans? What do you guys think?
I think this is shenanigans.
Shenanigans. Yeah. So you're on the fence.
I'm on the fence. I think it's shenanigans.
So some of it's true, but you're just not sure it's fully true.
Yeah.
I'm still going to sit in the false camp, because I don't believe that specific memories can be passed down from one person to the next. As far as behavioral traits, that would be
learned
another interesting conversation to have, because just evolution and pattern development and over millions of years. So that would be eye-opening as well. But specific memories, no.
I'm in the true camp.
No.
I think it's true. I'm leaning a little more towards shenanigans, being on the fence a little bit. But I think that it's quite possible that we are able to pass down specific memories from ourselves to our children. It's just we don't know the mechanics of it, is what I think.
Right.
I think we just don't know how that works. I think in time, we're going to figure it out. I think Assassin's Creed will be real life soon.
Hey.
As soon as we can download consciousness, as soon as we can digitize it, as soon as we upload it.
They're real close.
All right. Well, thank you both. We'll see you next time.
See you guys.
Well, I hope you enjoyed this exploration into genetic memories. Before you head out, make sure you hit that subscribe button. And be sure to check out our previous episodes on Pods Network, PODZ Network.com. Great new feature. You can now leave comments. Tell us your thoughts about the episode. As always, I've got to thank my co-hosts, Robbie, Gianni Storm. But I've also got to thank you for listening to our shenanigans. TLS Show, coming to your live from the TLS Show.